Yashodanandana Vajjanarandana Ramona Tira Vanachari Ramona Tira Vanachari Naya Radha Adhava Punja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivatikacharya Sukutta Sarasri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivatikacharya Sukutta Sarasri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi ki jai. Namacharya Swaharidas Thakur ki jai. Premsa Kahunsi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Chivasati Gaur Bhaktivindi ki jai. Sisi Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shama Kunda Adha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Mayapur Navadip Dham ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Nuraman Reti ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Go Brahmananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatam Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, under Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and under Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. In June, we finished our Chaitanya Charitamrita course online. So I was trying to figure out what book to do next. And in 1980 and 81, I served in Srila Prabhupada's rooms at Radhadamagar. And those rooms reek of his work on Srimad Bhagavatam. You remember that when he stayed there, he would write, and then he would take his manuscript by bus to Delhi, and at that time, the road wasn't like it is now. That changed in the 90s. Prior to that, it was not really a very safe road. It wasn't a good road. And the buses at that time weren't real good. And then he stayed at Chippewada in a very condensed part of Delhi, old Delhi, and worked with the OK Press to print his manuscript into a book. And the first volume, this one that we're starting with, he published in 1962. So he kept that in storage for 3 years before he even left to go to America. So I got inspired by that to study Srimad Bhagavatam, and I've been creating an online course for the last 2 or 3 months studying this. So kind of like that's where this is coming from. But there's an overall umbrella motive that Srila Vyasadeva has that I thought was really wonderful, because if you see where a person's coming from when they present something, then it helps you understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, what they're presenting. So Pran, can you go down to the bottom there and pick up on the bottom? I put on the database 7146. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking with Prakasananda Saraswati, the Mayavad sannyasis are very much absorbed in the Vedanta Sutra and studying Shastra. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, explained to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur, and to Sanatana Goswami, the Atmarama verse in 64 different ways, so many different ways, each one of them. Showing his scholarly, he used to be Nimai Pandit when he was in Navadvipa. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, is the author of the Vedas in one way, since he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this verse, he explained to them the entire motive and reason for the Vedas. Sambandha abhideya prayojana nama etina artha sava sutra paryasana. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's called sambandha. Activities in terms of that relationship, that's called abhideya. And the ultimate goal of life, to develop love of Godhead, prayojana. These three subjects are explained in every code of the Vedanta Sutra, for they form the culmination of the entire Vedanta philosophy. So when I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, this message came through very strongly from Srila Vyasadeva. What is our relationship with the Supreme Lord? What are the activities that are intrinsic in that relationship? And how does love grow from that process of acting in relationship with the Lord? Love grows, because that's a natural inherent part of the living entity and of the Supreme Lord. So now we'll read from Srimad Bhagavatam, and keeping that in mind, it really makes it quite exciting. Now, the way that Sri Gaurangi, who organizes the schedule, has put it together, I'm only doing the first three paragraphs to the purport today. And this is a rather lengthy, complex verse. So we'll just do the first two lines of the verse, rather than getting so deep into the Sanskrit and the length of the verse itself. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janadya satyato anvayat itaratas chartesu abhidya swarat. Oh yeah? Janmad asyayato nayadatita. We're not doing the second verse. We're not doing the second verse. Just the first verse. The second line of the verse. I'll just stop there. Om my Lord, Namaha. Offering my obeisances. Bhagavate. Under the personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya. Unto Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. For Lord Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord. Janma Adi. Creation, sustenance, and destruction. Asya. Of the manifested universes. Yataha. From whom? Anayat. Directly. Itarata. Indirectly. Cha. And. Artesu. Purposes. Abhigya. Fully cognizant. Swarat. Fully independent. So the translation of those two lines is, O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. That's basically Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. That's what we'll discuss today. For clarity, I'll read the rest of the purport because I want to explain it. I mean the verse. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of material nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever freed from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Vasudeva directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained in the text of this work. Sri Vyasadeva asserts herein that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are his direct or indirect plenary portions of the plenary portions or portions of the portion. This is curious. If you look at the Sanskrit, the word Krishna is not in this verse. Could you go to the desktop and click the little icon on the right that says hierarchy? From the very beginning, this first paragraph, the whole paragraph, Srila Prabhupada, on the right-hand side, see that one that says hierarchy? The entire paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is quoting different authorities to establish this fact that Krishna is the original. Put it up in view so it gets closer. The original personality of Godhead. We'll learn later. Vedanti tat tat Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the origin of all the different incarnations. And this leads to the part of the Sanskrit that we're studying, Janmadhya Syatyataha. Those are the first three words after Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janma Adi. Everybody knows what Janma means? birth. And Adi?
First.
So it's the origin of the birth of everything. Everything that we experience, everywhere, spiritual world or material world, consists of energy. Energy requires a source, just like the light bulb. We can't think that the light bulb is just automatically illuminated. There's a source to the energy that produces the electric energy. Similarly, everything that exists, stone, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, these are my separated energies. Then he says, aparyami tastamyam, these are my, aside from these, there's the living entities. Everything emanates from a source. Janma adi, janma dhyasya yataha, means that everything emanates from him, is sustained by him, and after annihilation enters back into him. Janmadhyasya yataha. So in other sampradayas, even bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas, they don't necessarily view Krishna, the cowherd boy who plays flute in Vrindavan, as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anybody know what the mantra in the Sri Sampradaya is? Sri Sampradaya is Ramanuja Sampradaya. What is their mantra? Who do they worship? Do they worship Krishna? Om Narayana. Om Namo Narayana. And if you go to Sri Rangam, they don't have Krishna, the cowherd boy, on their altar. They worship Narayana as the Supreme Personality of God. So this particular... very good, thank you. This chart shows very nicely how everything comes from Krishna. You see, Balaram is the first expansion, then the Chaturvyuha of Aniruddha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, and Pradumna. Then the next one, Narayan, then another Chaturvyuha, down to Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Shirodakshay Vishnu, down to every atom. Ultimately, the ultimate source of everything is Sri Krishna, the cowherd boy. Lord Chaitanya explained this very clearly to Sanatana Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here, Srila Prabhupada is beginning the book from a very Gaudiya Vaishnav point of view, explaining who that Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Janmadhya asya yataha. Back to our purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained this subject matter in his Krishna Sandarbha. And Brahma, the original living being, has explained the subject of Sri Krishna substantially in his treatise, named Brahma Samhita. In the Samaveda Upanishad, it is also stated that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the absolute personality of Godhead, it must be the name indicated by the word Krishna, which means all-attractive. What was the first part of the three sections that are the umbrella for this concept? There's Sambandha, Abhideha, and Prayojana. What does Sambandha mean?
Relationship.
The all-attractive personality of Godhead is attractive. Everyone, everything is naturally attracted to him. Why? Because he's the source of everything. He is everything. Bahunam janmanamante gyanavam mam prapadyante Samahatma Sarvabha. So here, the same thing is being stated. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Because everything comes from him, everything is sustained in him, by him, and at the end, everything will go back into him. So he is attractive. That leads to Abhideha and Prayojana. By performing activities properly in the relationship, then love naturally develops because it's inherent in everything. It's inherent in the relationship with everything we experience. And that's why Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha, it's very rare to find this and see this, because all conditioned souls were naturally attracted to try to enjoy that which is someone else's property. We try to enjoy and experience pleasure in this material world because our sense of our relationship isn't mature. Let's just put it under that topic, that heading. Our relationship with understanding and acting in relationship with the Supreme, attractive person, is not mature. And therefore, we experience so many difficulties and aren't attracted to that Supreme Person. In the Bhagavad Gita, in many places, the Lord asserts himself to be the original personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed by Arjuna and also by great sages like Narada, Vyas, and many others. In the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of innumerable names for the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Vasudeva indicates a plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. And all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudeva are indicated in this text. So here we see the necessity of hearing from a pure devotee. Who in the world would ever understand that Krishna is the source of Vasudeva by this verse? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna. Under Vasudeva, the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Lord Chaitanya came to further explain what had already been exhibited by Krishna. So he's explained this to his followers, and we're understanding it through their teachings. The name Vasudeva particularly indicates the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahamsas, who are the perfected ones among those in the renounced order of life. So this is the first paragraph, explaining and establishing. Srimad Bhagavatam is the biography of God. The entire book is about him and his activities, his personality, his name, his forms, his adventures. The whole book's about him. So therefore, it's a biography of God. And in this first verse, the author is offering his obeisances unto him before he begins to describe him. And in this verse, what he does is he offers his obeisances, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then he explains some interesting qualities and characteristics of that person. He from whom everything comes, the cause of all causes. Then he's directly and indirectly conscious of all the living, of everything that exists. These will be described by others next tomorrow and the next day. But basically, if you look at the verse, there's obeisances, then there's the qualities of the person. Then, in the next verse, 2 and 3, he'll describe the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this whole book is meant to establish who the Lord is, what the relationship is with the living entities, and the activities, by describing all the different things in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the different adventures, the pastimes, the incarnations of the Lord, the activities of the devotees. All these different things are abhideha. Their activities described in relation with that Supreme Person. And then in the 10th canto, prayojan, the love of his devotees in their topmost degree, is described. Second paragraph. Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the cause of all causes. Now in the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada established that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And basically the whole paragraph he was quoting different authorities. Jiva Goswami, Brahma Samhita, Padma Purana, Samaveda, Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita. Now, he's going to pierce a little more into this Janmadhyasya Yataha. Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, is the cause of all causes. Everything that exists emanates from the Lord. How this is so is explained in later chapters of this work. Srimad Bhagavatam is so precise in the third canto. The whole description of creation is described very detailed. How Mahavishnu expands the universes. How Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters into each and every universe. Then expands into Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, into every atom. And then how the different material elements, both subtle and gross, are created. So there's a whole scientific understanding how that person is created. And it, just like with, I was trying to think of a good example, and Samapriya and I were discussing. The more you understand a person, how they do things, what they do, you know, like biographies, they help you pierce into the nature of the person. Somebody may see Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, guru from India. But we see with the movie that Jadavar and Vishaka recently made, or if you read Prabhupada Leelamrita, the more you pierce into the understanding of who he was, how he grew up on Harrison Road, Radha Govinda Temple across, you know, part of the family deal, then you know that, you know, Rath Yatra when he was a child, how his friend in 1922 asked him to come to see a nice sadhu, and he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, got the order. The more we understand the person through his activities and life, then the more we understand and have a relationship with him, which turns into love. Similarly, the Bhagavatam presents Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by hearing and understanding all these different features, we better understand the person, his motives, who he is, what his character is, and why he's all attractive. I thought for a good comparison, just to kind of introduce and explain a little something. This, Prabhupada gave the example that other religions have information which is very similar. It's still the absolute truth. But Christianity, the Islam, Buddhist philosophies don't really reveal this personality of God. Listen to the beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, and God saw the light and saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And in the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And he goes through describing this. It's not real detailed or scientific. It's beautiful, and because of our understanding from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we may understand it much more deeply. But most people, when you say God created in 7 days, but there's no real information how he did it scientifically, the scientists who are, we'll read about it in the next paragraph, who are naturally inquisitive, it's not satisfying. Srimad Bhagavatam is satisfying. The deeper you want to go into a subject matter to learn about the person, the more information flows from that well. This work is described by Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya as the spotless Purana. Because it contains the transcendental narration of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The history of Srimad Bhagavatam is also very glorious. It was compiled by Sri Vyasadeva after he had attained maturity and transcendental knowledge. He wrote this under the instructions of Sri Naradaji, his spiritual master. Vyasadeva compiled all Vedic literatures containing the four divisions of the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutras or the Brahma Sutras, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, and so on. But nevertheless, he was not satisfied. His dissatisfaction was observed by his spiritual master, and thus Narada advised him to write on the transcendental activities of Lord Sri Krishna. These transcendental activities are described specifically in the 10th canto of this work. But in order to reach the very substance, one must proceed gradually by developing knowledge of the categories. Anyone who wants to join that online Srimad Bhagavatam course, I'll speak a little bit about it because I just finished the section on Narada and Vyasadeva and share one of my realizations that kind of shined through. Vyasadeva appeared at the beginning of Kali Yuga. Prior to Kali Yuga, people lived much longer lives in other yugas. That's why the sages at Namasranya say the people in this age of Kali are short-lived, quarrelsome, misguided, disturbed, always in anxiety. Short-lived was one of the features. And then they asked Sutta Goswami, so because they're short-lived and can't spend a whole lot of time meditating or even studying scripture, then you please pull out take the essence of all the scriptures and describe that to us so that the people in general can benefit. And then Srimad Bhagavatam was there. So Vyasadeva, he took the one Veda. Prior to Kali Yuga, there was one Veda. And at first, he categorized it into four, the Samaveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda, and Yajurveda. Then he took that and subsequently subdivided it again into 108 Upanishads, again into 18 Puranas. The same information, more categorized. The more you break something down, just like we're doing with this verse, you take it and you explain each little part of it, and then the whole becomes easier to understand. So he took the whole Vedas and categorized them into little bits and pieces. 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas. Then the Mahabharata. Okay, still can I say, here's some stories. Now, why was he, and Vedanta Sutra. But still, as an author, he was feeling, I haven't presented something that everyone can really benefit from. And he couldn't understand why. Why, after all of this work, all this information, all this knowledge, am I still not satisfied? All the rules and regulations, all the rituals, all the pujas. So many of these things were described already way back in the four Vedas, but to speak of the subsequent verses. It wasn't satisfying to his heart. Therefore, the correlation between us and that is that if we also put our focus into these different features of life described in the Vedas as the primary reason for doing them, then what will happen? What will be the result? Also not satisfied. Fire yogis, dance, beautiful bharatanatyams, all the different clothes and the food, and all the different cultural aspects. They're wonderful. They're udipanas. They enthuse one to love if the right course is being performed, but they in themselves are not sources of complete satisfaction. So Vyasadeva spoke with Narada, and Narada explained all these different features that you have to glorify directly, not indirectly, not a bridge program. Directly glorify, explain the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That will satisfy you and satisfy your readers. So this is what Srimad Bhagavatam does. The entire book describes who that person is, how everything emanates from him, how he manifests even in the material world to perform pastimes to attract the living entities, what those adventures are, how his devotees interact with each one of those different personalities. And in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream. What is cream?
Essence.
Pardon?
The essence.
The essence. Thank you. Beautiful. Well, ghee would be the essence, right? You can even get it further down. But yes, the essence. If you have in England, I remember when I was there, they had this one bottle of milk called Gold Top. You take a bottle of milk, and it has a little gold top on it. But if you look at the top of the, if you look at the whole bottle carefully, the top third or fourth of it is actually a different color than the rest because the cream rose to the top, and they market it like that. You can buy gold top. And being a brahmacharya is quite attractive. So this is the cream of all the Vedas. It's just like it's risen up to the top, and it's the very essence of what will really satisfy the heart of the living entity by reading it and studying it and learning and performing those activities in Abhideya, then naturally love, prayoji, manifests. Final paragraph. It is natural that a philosophical mind wants to know about the origin of creation. At night he sees the stars in the sky, and he naturally speculates about their inhabitants. Such inquiries are natural for a man, because man has developed consciousness, which is higher than that of the animals. The author of Srimad Bhagavatam gives a direct answer to such inquiries. He says, the Lord Sri Krishna is the origin of all creations. He is not only the creator of the universe, but the destroyer as well. The manifested cosmic nature is created at a certain period by the will of the Lord. It is maintained for some time, and then it is annihilated by his will. Therefore, the supreme will is behind all cosmic activities. Of course, there are atheists of various categories who do not believe in the Creator, but that is due to their poor fund of knowledge. The modern scientist, for example, has created space satellites, and by some arrangement or other, these satellites are thrown into outer space to fly for some time at the control of the scientist, who is far away. Similarly, all the universes, with innumerable stars and planets, are controlled by the intelligence of the personality of God. So this is the concept. Janmadya asya yataha. Everything is emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now I have a nice clip where Srila Prabhupada, in 5 minutes, explains what took me 35 minutes to explain. In our course on Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not rocket science, it's not difficult. We've been doing online teaching, trying to use the internet so that people can have easy access to Srila Prabhupada's books in their lives. And over the course of 11 years now, we've adapted a program due to people working, family. We started off the first time we did it, we were way over enthusiastic. We did 18 chapters in 18 months. How many people do you think made it to the 18th chapter? Not very many. It was like, especially after the 10th chapter with all that universal form. You could almost do a graph. We did it 3 or 4 times and like, phew. It's very difficult to keep people that. So what we do now, twice a week, we put up course materials on the internet so that no matter where a person is in the world, if they have a device which connects to the internet, they can either read the verses and purports that we put together, and I even narrate them and do the audio books, so you can even listen to a podcast while driving, walking, doing laundry, washing dishes, whatever it is. But the point is that twice a week, 8 times per month only, we put up these things in a thematic way. For example, during the first month, we study the first chapter. The first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is titled What is it?
Questions by the sages.
Questions by the sages. That means there's questions by the sages in the chapter. I know devotees who have been reading Srimad Bhagavatam for 40 years who really don't know those six questions. There's six questions asked by the sages of Namasharanya to Suta Goswami. Those six questions are not the focus of what we usually talk about in Srimad Bhagavatam classes. It's not the way that we organize our classes. So, I take it from a different point of view, because you've got to make it different. Everybody's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's wonderful in the class, but to kind of add a spice, to make it a little bit different, focus it on the themes within the book. Like the prayers of Queen Kunti, or the meditations of Bhishma Dev before he left, or this talk between Narada and Vyasadeva. You can package it differently so it's more easily understood, just like Vyasadeva took the Vedas and packaged them a little bit differently so that they could be understood by the common man. So you read these different sections, which take about 20 to 30 minutes twice a week, and then write a little essay on your realization. Oh, we also have crafted japa meditations in each section. Like, for example, if you chant your japa on this one topic, Janmadya Asya Yataha, it's a wonderful meditation. You can chant all day long, thinking about how is Krishna the source of everything. And you know, you get different realizations when you see things, when you come across them, and the meditation. Even Vyasadeva, what did he say in the very beginning of the verse that we're reading? I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because. And then he explains the different features, nama, rupa, guna, lila, of the Lord. So if you want to join, it's sadhusangaonline.com. It's free. You go there, create an account. Once you've created an account, there's things that says available courses. Click October 2019, Kartik. And then that will come up and it'll be a little button that says enroll. And click enroll. Then you're enrolled. Starting October 7th, we'll start to, I'll post those, the first verse is the first lesson. And you study that verse for 3 or 4 days, write a little essay. And then the next Thursday, we do a Monday and Thursday. On Thursday, we post another. Verses 2 and 3 are the next one, because both of them glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, the third, the following Monday, is question one by the sages. And that's a meditation in itself. So like this, the opportunity is there to kind of enhance and bring the Srimad Bhagavatam more into your life, if you like. That invitation is there. Now, Srila Prabhupada's clip, it's on the bottom. You'll see it on Firefox on the left-hand side. Open Firefox. It says Srila Prabhupada, SB111. No, on the left. No, it's right down on the very left, of the very bottom, left-hand side. See the fire? No, over to the right. No, down.
All the way down.
All the way down.
There.
No, to the left.
Nature of God is described. Janmadasajataha. Nature of God means He is the supreme source of everything. Whatever janma, janmadasya, janma adi. Adi means beginning with janma. Just like I have already described, my body, your body, has a history of janma or birth, a date of birth. So janma adi means birth and sustenance and death. We have got this body produced or born at a certain date. It keeps, sustains for a certain period, say 50 years, 60 years, or 100 years, not more. And then again it is destroyed. Therefore, janma adi means birth is also coming from him, maintained also by him, and when it is destroyed, it goes into him. That is called janma adi, means birth, maintenance, and annihilation. Janma adi jasya asya, all this material world, they are undergoing the same process. Janma, sustenance, and end. Everything. This universe also is like that. Everything. In the ant's body, or my body, your body, elephant's body, or there are many demigods' body, just like we have learned from Bhagavad Gita, Brahma's body, it keeps for millions and millions of years. One day, we cannot calculate. So there are different types of bodies within this material world. We can compare, just like ant's body, a fly's body, and my body. A fly's body may remain for a few hours. So our body may remain for a few years. And similarly, there are other living entities like Brahma. Their body remains for few decades. But every body, each body, is subjected to this law of nature. Birth, death, disease, and old age. So God's body is not like that. It is eternal. Here in this material world, we can possess a body which may exist for millions of years. But that does not mean it is eternal. It is not eternal. But God's body is eternal. Therefore, in the Vedic language, when it is said, nirakar, nirakar means who has no form. It does not mean that God has no form. He has got form. But his form is different from this form upon which we have got experience. Our experience is whatever form we can think of, even Brahma's form, that is liable to be annihilated. But God's form is not like that. So, when in the Vedic language it is said, nirakar means nira, nira means not, and akar means form, that means God's form is not like ours. It is not that he has no form. He has form. But his form is different from ours.
So because his body is not like our body, it's eternal, it's all attractive, it's worthy of meditating upon. And this is the introductory concept that Vyasadeva is making to attract his reader and set a precedent that he'll follow throughout the rest of the book. Any questions or comments? Sri Vikram Prabhu? And then on?
So Srila Prabhupada speaks about, like, in the heavenly planets and other places, there is variety, so
and so many activities and everything are going on. But then we find the scientists have been searching the whole universe and they can't find one trace of life anywhere. Nowhere. I mean, How can you explain this? I mean, you know, it's a big question, you know. No sign of life anywhere. But yet our book said there's life everywhere.
Prior to the instrument to perceive infrared or ultraviolet rays, man didn't know they existed. Prior to Columbus, who knows whether the world's round or flat, but it's certainly not flat so you can fall off the end of it. But prior to a person performing an activity that stretched the imagination and understanding of the world to another level, and this is constantly going on, they're constantly learning more and more and more about things that already exist. So the senses are imperfect, and how far into space a tiny living entity can propel himself mechanically is, by this verdict, by the Vedic verdict, it's not very far at all. It's like you jumping up. You can't touch the ceiling. It's not possible for you to do that. You may get a ladder and then get there, but the mechanics of being able to go to another planet, to perceive the life there, just like the ocean. You look at the ocean, it doesn't look like there's any life there. So if you land on a planet, you don't see anything, it doesn't mean there's no life there. That means you don't perceive it. You're not experiencing it. But logically, we can understand that there is life in the earth, water, fire, air, ether. There's subtle living entities, ghosts, live in ether. You can't see them. You have a mind. How do we even know the mind exists? What is the central perception? Can you see it, taste it, smell it, hear it? No. It's almost like it doesn't exist. But we know it exists by logic and by experience. So in the same way, the Vedas describe that you can use this as a method of evidence to understand there must be life everywhere on this planet. So why not life on another planet that's different? Prabhupada gives the example of the aquatics. We can't live in water, but they have a body which accommodates to that element and can live in it. So similarly, although other planets may not have the same mixture of ingredients, there are living entities who can live in the ingredients that are there. They've adapted. They have adapted bodies that can exist there. That's the short answer. Pran?
I was just going to say,
I was doing a little research on the sixth question and answer. Mm. Because when we are constantly asking questions anyway, whether we are aware or not, we are constantly conversing with mind. Prabhupada says in teaching of Lord Chaitanya, beginning. So I'm going to give a small paraphrase in 1 minute. Everybody can try to find. And I have the slokas. It takes about 1 hour, 28 slokas. But if you want to know only one sloka for each, also there. From Prabhupada. So the first question they ask, what is the ultimate beauty, religion, ultimate religion for each soul that will please the Absolute and please me? Jayatma Suprasiddha. So they gave this 1.2.6, the answer. The next question they ask, though we don't have time and to understand the essential principle of different scripture, it will be almost impossible. Give me one scripture that will solve all our problems and it will satisfy the Lord also to please us. And they said, Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's one verse, Prabhupada gave about that. Then the third question the sages asked to Sukha Goswami, why did Supreme Absolute Truth appear from the womb of Mother Vibhuti? What is the purpose? And Prabhupada gave a very three reasons. Paritranaya sadhana, vinashaya chudhushitam, dharma sansthapanaya. Three reasons. And there is one sloka gives this whole thing. And the fourth question they ask, what are the glorious activities of that Absolute Truth?
Prabhupada translates as the adventures. I never thought of it. Prabhupada, he repeats that. Adventures of the Supreme Absolute. So that verse, Ati Chamsha Kalapam Sri Krishna Bhagavan Swami, Prabhupada give that emphasis. And then fifth question was, what are the glorious activities of all the incarnation of the Lord? And Prabhupada explained this in that purport of the six, which you gave a beautiful chart, the six avatar, the Juga avatar, Manantara avatar, Guna avatar, Abhesh avatar, Leela avatar, like this, all six avatars in details. And then the last question is, since Krishna left with all his paraphernalia, where did the religion took shelter that we can find? Krishna says, Dhamma apagati dharma dhinati dhisha, polo nasra dhisham, so purana to dhuno dhita. The ends with the holy name. That's what the end verse of Bhagavata. Very nice. These are like six, easy to remember six questions. And the answer is whole Bhagavata.
What he means by that is that in the beginning of this of the first chapter, in that chapter, the sages asked Suta Goswami six questions. In chapter 2, Suta Goswami starts to speak. And all the way up to the 12th canto, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, he's basically answering those six questions. So, in our Srimad Bhagavatam course, one of the meditations or one of the concepts is to learn, just as Pran did out of the top of his head, to at least understand the concepts of what six questions are. And that way, any time you pick up a Srimad Bhagavatam, any chapter, any part of it, you can link it back and understand what is Suta Goswami doing here? Why is he speaking about this particular topic in this way? And you can see that it links to those six topics, those six questions. Because they're almost like a skeleton, like the framework upon which the whole book exists. But the main point I want to again reiterate before we close, this Janmadhi Asya Yataha, that's the meditation for today. Everything exists and emanates. Even the other incarnations of the Lord come from, or he is the original, Swayam Rupa. It's not that they're created. That. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful purports. Hare Krishna.